us eyes to see and ears to hear you, Lord. Father, help us to recognize, Lord God, your spirit in this place. Father, would you touch your people afresh this morning, Lord God? Father, fill us with the joy of your presence, Jesus. Faith for us. Israelites, Lord God, who always forgot what you did for them, Lord God, and how you worked for them, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to acknowledge you this morning, Lord God, and thank you in this place, Lord God. Father, we worship you with thankful hearts this morning, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for us, Lord, for what you continue to do for us, Lord. Father, for how you continually work in our lives, Lord Jesus. Father, we say that we love you this morning, God. We love you this morning, Lord Jesus. And Father, we love because you first loved us, Lord Jesus.
So Lord Jesus, we just want to recognise your presence here this morning and just thank you so much for it. And I was reminded of the servant of Elijah who was told to go out and see the cloud coming, and he saw a cloud the size of a fist. And then they told him to go out again, and it got bigger and bigger. And there's a sense of God increasing what he wants to do, like his glory, and he wants to fill this place with his glory. It's on the way, and God wants us to keep going out and seeking it, because God will bring it in his time and in his season. And as I just want to encourage this morning, this week we had a 3 days of prayer and fasting in the church, and nice stomach, eh? Still not that good. But anyway, we had 3 days of prayer and fasting, and we had three sort of elements to it. The first one was we met on the Monday to look at the prayer of repentance, because it says in the Bible, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And it's like we want Jesus to be near to us. And so we took time on the Monday to spend time with God, and we recognize that Jesus lies to the world. We want to come into God's presence, and we recognize that in God's presence there is no darkness. And so we brought ourselves into that space, and we spent a time together in different places around the building, hanging out with the Lord, a time of worship, a time of just reflecting on our lives and asking the Lord to come into our lives. And then we had a time of communion, and then we had a time of praying with each other. And then on Tuesday we came together to I'll call it the heart of prayer and the house of prayer. And we came here as a church just to dedicate this space for God's glory, to pray for those who will be in this building who are not here yet, to pray that God would really fill this place with just his presence. And then on Wednesday, we came together, we worshipped, and then we prayed for the community in the city. And we took some candles or some little tea lights and placed them just outside the church. And then we walked around some of the communities around here and began to pray God's blessing upon them. And so it's a time of we're preparing for the Lord to come with power. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's came along to that week of 3 days, just if there's any testimonies this morning of what God said or did. Just have a couple of those before we move on, because we want to obviously hear what Johnny has to say. It should be great. Anyone who was there who's got a word to share with us? Is that a word, or are you leaving us? Because God spoke to us in many ways, so I just want to encourage those who are there. So here we go. Always takes one. There we go. By the way, happy birthday for the other day.
Thank you.
There we go, yes. So go for it.
Great. Well, I was thinking when I was sitting down there of the journey God took me on Monday night. We were just kind of all praying individually and wandering around and seeing what God would speak to us about. And the whole theme for me was darkness and light. And I was kind of here, and there was kind of a circle of people sitting in the middle, and it was bright, like it is now. But because it was nighttime, all the kind of corners were in darkness. I kind of felt like God was telling me to seek the dark space. So I kind of went and stood behind the doors there. And it was funny because when I was here in the light, that space looked totally dark. But when I was actually standing there, it didn't look dark at all. It kind of looked dim, but there was a lot of light coming in. It's kind of saying, well, hang on, what is this saying? I felt God was saying that to somebody who's in the darkness, it doesn't necessarily feel dark to them. It might feel comfortable, and it might feel that's where they belong, and they look at the light, it might seem too bright and too harsh. And it's a matter of people need a change of perspective to actually see that the light is what they need. And then I was kind of thinking, well, how does that happen? And I felt God was saying, through love. It just comes down to that, through love. Show people love, and they will be drawn to the light. And it just seems something very basic and very simple, but it took about half an hour for God to bring me on that journey on Monday night. And then I was feeling, well, how do I show that love? Because, I mean, I know that myself, people I know, people I care about, it's easy enough to show them love. But people who are out there, people I don't know, I don't have any love for them. So for me, it has to be God loving through me, because there's no way I can do that by myself.
Well, thank you for that. That's true, isn't it? Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Anyone else who was there who was able to... were you there with us? No? Okay, go for it, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just coming from a different perspective, but just to say that I have been praying, you know, we had Andrea Wigglesworth came to our fellowship, and she said like that this was to be the year of the Lord's favour, you know, the power of the Lord would be seen. But I've been visiting just a few churches around, just, you know, seeing what's happening in that. And that word that you spoke this morning, and I got it myself from Luke 4, you know, that Jesus' mission statement was that he came to bring the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, and the recovery of sight to the blind. And then he brought me to Isaiah 61. And what's been coming to me is, you know, this prayer that I remembered from way back, and it's, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I have a sense of in various churches that this word is coming out, you know, that what you're talking about, that, you know, we would be reborn and filled with the Spirit and see God's glory and power, you know. So I'm amazed this morning that you spoke that word. And I was in another little church in Elam, Pentecostal in Swords, and he spoke the very same word. And he said the importance of just giving thanks to the Lord for what you see. Don't wait for you know, this great thing to happen, but thank the Lord for what you see and rejoice in it, and he will bring it about.
Well, thank you. That's very encouraging, very encouraging. Thank you so much. One more, and then we're going to have a time of meeting, greeting to say hello to those around us. So anyone else got a word of encouragement and a word to build up the church? So two great words, weren't they? There we go. This is Marta. To Marta. No, sorry.
Hi. It's just first that when we were praying on Wednesday for neighborhood, and it wasn't only me that had this verse, but it's amazing, especially Message version. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And it was about especially kids and their parents here in the neighborhood. And like, we're really upset of situation that is here with drugs and alcohol and why people are not coming to the church. And like, there's great promise that God is here to give them better life, eternal life, and better life than they ever dreamed of. So there's hope for this neighborhood. And yeah, it's God's word, so you have to hold on. Yeah. And the other day, the Tuesday, was about God's glory. Like, I was praying for God's presence and for people to know God. And there was a verse from John about Jesus in Cana. And the verse is, "This act in Cana of Galilee was the first sign Jesus gave, the first glimpse of his glory, and his disciples believed in him." And this is my prayer, that God will show his glory, that we will believe in him, and that people will see, people that don't know him, they will see his glory, and they will believe in him.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Mars. That's wonderful. Brilliant. So as a church, what we're doing is we're really learning how to pray. We're not very good at it, but we're getting better at it. And we're spending time creating spaces in which to pray and to seek God, because that's the means by which he comes. And so that's what we're committed to as a church. So what we're going to do now is for just a couple of minutes, just to say hello to those around us, those who are new, those who are familiar, those around, just to welcome them, to say hi, and then we're going to come back, notices, collection, and then Johnny is going to give us a talk. So let's do that right now. So if I could ask people to find their way back to their seats, we're just going to quickly fly through the notices, hopefully. Well, I think I know what the first notice is. Anyway, there's a Jason Upton concert, which is happening in Gardner Street at the Exchange. That's next Saturday at 7:30, I believe. Tickets are €27, and we're encouraging people from CORE to go along to it, just so they can go along to something together. But I do advise that tickets are bought as soon as possible, because they're almost run out. So please book those up as soon as possible, which would be great. Next, can you go? That's it, there we go. That's a Jason Upton concert. There you go. The Exchange. So what's on at CORE? We have a leaflet which needs to be reprinted at the back of the church, which lets people know what's going on this term. So we'll get some reprinted and you'll know what's going on. Next one. Catherine, Just for Girls.
It's not a men's thing.
Hey, sorry, I was taken off guard. So we're really excited about what we've done is we started Just for Girls small group so we can all just eat cake, basically. And so we meet on a Tuesday morning. Really, if you're free on a Tuesday morning and you're a girl and you're not part of a small group, you're really welcome to come and join us. The deal is basically that we just really want more of the Lord, and we want to take seriously what he's called us to as women. A lot of us are mums, and in the middle of being a mum, you get all caught up in stuff. So we really want to push into what the Lord has. So that's happening on a Tuesday morning. More information from me or Salah. But then we're having evening meetups because loads of us are working. So once a month, we're doing some socials. We went to the cinema last month and some worship and ministry evenings. So October the 19th is our next one. So for any women, I think it's going to be at my house. And it's going to be a very simple evening of worship, prayer, praying for each other and just receiving the Lord and just what he has for us. It's going to be very, very simple, but we all need a bit of that. So come and join us.
Thanks, Catherine. We should have the Yorkie prayer group for men, just for men, shouldn't we? Yeah. Anyway, next Sunday, on the second Sunday of the month, in the evening, we have what's called Equipping the Saints to build up the body of Christ. And we're having a training session so that people learn and grow in different aspects of the faith. And so last time we had a great evening on how to pray, and obviously we're going to continue learning to do that. And this one is how to pray for people. So if you've been trained up in prayer ministry, it'll be great for you to come along for a refresher. If you haven't been trained up in prayer ministry, you're very welcome to come along. And that includes you guys from YWAM. If you're free Sunday night and would like to come along, if that's okay, with your leaders. Obviously, it's up to your leader to make that call, so it's up to you, obviously. But you'll be very welcome to come along, and we'd love to for you to be part of that. Next one. I think that's it. And just to say, next week, Connor Heron, which is Paddy's son, has been not baptized, he's been dedicated. And so we want to invite as many people from CORE community to come along and support that, because it's going to be a wonderful time. So let's, if I could ask a small group, sorry? Not really, but I will. No, we're not going to. So the Clock Pub, we have a music session, a trad music session in the Clock Pub, which is just along here, about 300 yards on your left. It starts, what time, 7:30? About 8 o'clock, and so a bunch of guys, we've got some great musicians in the church, come along to hear the music, join in with the music, have a pint with them, get to know the locals, and we're trying to build a relationship with the community, and it's a wonderful opportunity just to get to know people and for us to get out into the community. So please come along to that. That's next Saturday at 8 o'clock. Friday night at 8 o'clock. Brilliant. I don't know why you don't give the notice. Okay, that's brilliant. Okay, we'll make sure we're there for that. So let's ask the small group to do the collection. That'd be fantastic. And then I'm going to invite Johnny, who's going to come and speak to us.
Hi everyone, it's really nice to be here. So it's sunny down here in Dublin, I'm from Northern Ireland, so we don't really get to see that very much. So really nice to be here. A quick introduction for me, for those of you, most of you haven't met me before. I'm a New Zealander by birth, but I've actually lived on this island for about 27 years, but my accent, goodness knows what happened to it, and it never quite arrived. I've been living mostly in the north of Ireland in that time. And I am the director of Why Women Ireland. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a little while. Just a quick word for you guys as a church. Just sitting there, I had a real sense of being very at home and just feeling like, you know, like, I don't know about you, but sometimes you go somewhere new, it can seem very new, and like maybe you don't belong or you don't feel at home. But just a real sense of being at home, and I think if church is meant to be anything, it should be a place of belonging and a place where people can come in and feel accepted and welcomed. And I think from probably Jonathan all the way down, there's a sense that you guys are wanting to create home here, and you're wanting to welcome people, and I think that's very, very special. Just for 1 minute at the very beginning, I just want to invite Ferg, who's leading the work of the new team in Dublin, just to say for about a minute, just to let you know what they're doing. Some of you know Ferg. You have that privilege.
Thank you. Johnny gave me a heads up about this about 5 minutes before we sat down, so that's great. Myself and a friend of mine, Stephen, are running a DTS, a discipleship training school in Dublin. It's for 18 to 30-year-olds. And what it consists of is 7 months. Half of it is lectures and learning and spending time with God and studying and praying and getting dealt with and repenting and getting over yourself and all that kind of stuff. And the other half is kind of an outworking or an experiment or an application of all of that. Our ethos really is to, we want to serve Dublin with a discipleship course that equips people to be full-on disciples of Jesus in any sphere, to be missional, whether it's a primary school teacher, an artist, a businessman, an entrepreneur, whatever. We want to release people back out into the world fully inspired and oozing with God. And probably not so much sending people overseas as missionaries. We're open to that, but we just kind of see a gap in the market, I suppose, for just really filling people up, getting them really acquainted with the presence and the power of God, and sending them into the spheres that they're designed for. So that's what we're doing. We have a great big house down in Kilmainham at the moment, where we have 14, 15, 16, sometimes, people staying. And that's open on Wednesday nights. If you ever want to pop down, just flick us a text message. It's an open house. Sometimes you have a speaker. Sometimes we'll just feed you really, really well. And so you can't really lose unless the speaker is one of the students. No. And then we do our lectures at the moment in a little prayer room underneath a Korean market just over in the Italian quarter. So that's kind of fun. If you ever wanted to check it out, it's an amazing course. This is our first one, but it's going really, really well. It's got great ups and downs, and God is in all of the bits and pieces. So it's really good. And people's lives are really been changed. People are getting a whole new kind of outlook on life with God. One of the high points for me as a leader for this has been some of us went away to Ibiza, and then the other half of us stayed at home to do outreach in Ireland. And one of the greatest kind of lines I've heard out of the school yet was, well, we kind of couldn't really do outreach in Ireland because we thought if we can do outreach, well, then we're doing something wrong. So it kind of changed this whole perspective on we just need to be living full of God every day in whatever we're doing and being fully prepared to extend him whatever he's saying or whatever he's doing, you know, and just be really intentional about life. And I think it really summed up the ethos of our school when our students came back with that kind of mentality. So that was really cool. And that's what we want to carry here. So our website is www.ywamdublin.com, and you can check out about our schools. The next one's running in September. It's really, really something funny, girls. Students are a bit too comfortable with their leaders. They're laughing at them at the front of the church. No, it's a great school, but if you are looking for something, I kind of feel like, you know, we spend so much time getting into our degrees and after school and before careers, and we might go on a mission trip, you know, somewhere in there. And I just really feel it's important that we really dig into God for a condensed season of time. And this is just a really great way of doing that, you know, and it really sets people up for their destiny with God and stuff like that. So, yeah, give us a shout if you're interested, and we'll see you hopefully on Wednesday nights. Don't all come. House isn't that big, but we might have it here. Who knows? Thanks very much.
Okay. So let me just tell you a little bit. I want to start by just kind of touching on a little bit of my story. And I guess Jonathan heard me a couple of months ago giving a talk at the Exchange, where it wasn't even a talk, it was just a little promo thing. And I've been using this line a little bit over the last few years. Holiness means moving towards darkness. And I guess today I'm going to unpack that a little bit. What does that mean? My story is I grew up as a kid, as a missionary. My parents gave up a beautiful house in Auckland, New Zealand, with a view of the Manukau Harbour. They gave up my right to be an All Black, and moved over here. And I grew up in an environment of not knowing how we were going to pay for my next pair of school shoes, and then money would come through the door. And I lived a kind of little crazy little life, you know, the life of an idealistic missionary. And it was incredible. And I suppose I've now been working full-time with Youth with a Mission in Northern Ireland since 98. And I've been doing various things. And I guess part of what I'm going to talk a little bit about today is a bit of our journey in the last 9 years. But let me just give you a quick update on where we are now. I currently live in a little town called Ross Trevor, right on the border. How many of you have ever been to the Christian Renewal Center in Ross Trevor? A bunch of you have. So it's possibly the most beautiful spot on this island. It'd be hard to beat it. And my living room window is like to die for. I have mates of mine who come down and they just kind of can't believe how lucky I am, you know. And it's incredible. We, as YWAM, were given, well, I'll go back a little bit. A year ago, we were working in the inner city of Belfast, and we had a training facility in the countryside, halfway between Belfast and Newry, really. And I was sitting down with my predecessor, who'd been the YWAM director in the north, and a friend of ours, and we were talking about what we felt like God was wanting to do in Ireland, and we talked about kingdoms and the fact that there's so many people trying to build kingdoms. And of course, I've been living in Belfast, which is full of churches and little and acronyms of paramilitary groups, and it's full of little kingdoms. And we were talking about if we want to build the kingdom of God in this place, then YWAM adding our four initials to the list of little kingdoms wasn't really going to help anyone, you know? And as we talked about this property that we own, that was, it's worth money, you know, but it needed a lot of work done on it, and it was a bit isolated. One of us kind of said, maybe we should give it away. Now, as a director of an organization who's 35 and needing a lot of money at the time, I could have thought of better things to do. But there was something about the Spirit of God coming into that room that day about 12 months ago. And maybe we should give it away. Maybe in a land that for 900 years has had dispute over land and borders, to make a statement that the earth is the Lord's, and the earth does not belong to to a little group here or there is actually quite a significant statement. So we began the process of giving the equity away. We owed a little bit of money on it, so somebody would have to give us what we owed on it. And now, a year later, no one has come forward, partly because they need to do a lot of work on it. It's kind of a bit of a poison chalice. It sounds good, let's give it away. But if you saw the place, you'd realize, there's a bit more to it than that. And we're wondering whether God's saying this is a bit of an Abraham Isaac thing, you know, lay it down. So we're just pursuing God on that. But 6 months after we had kind of made that decision, I was rung up and said, were we interested in the Christian Renewal Center in Ross Trevor? Many of you would know it's been a very well-known property and ministry center for the last 36 years. And I initially said, no, sorry, we're just trying to get rid of one building, you know, we're God's calling us to the cities. And then over a period of about 3 weeks, I began to be persuaded that maybe God was saying this was right for us. And so we kind of at the last minute put in a proposal. And then we were invited to go and meet with the trustees, who were kind of like the Jedi Masters of Irish Christianity, you know, this group of gray-haired saints. And we sat there, and one of them, David Bailey, who probably started the first kind of charismatic church in Ireland, in West Church in Bangor, he said to my wife, who was really having trouble with the idea of us taking this on, you know, she was like, no, we're going for the cities. He goes, I think it's very important that you know that every single one of us has felt that we should give this to YWAM. And, you know, that they're just a bunch of old charismatics, you know. So they didn't do any process. They just said, well, let's go away and pray about it and come back and see who we should give it to, you know. And they came back and they went around in a circle and every one of them said, YWAM, 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 YWAM. So I kind of feel like we suddenly got given this thing that I didn't even necessarily want or wasn't looking for. And we've done a little flyer for it. You're welcome to come and get one at the end and find out a little bit more about us. We're calling it Onchuan, the Irish word for a harbor, with an emphasis that it should be a place, a gathering place for people to then go to get resourced and trained and equipped and inspired and then sent out into the spheres of society in this land and into areas of that we want to focus on and partner with around the world. You're welcome to come. Come have a retreat. Come bring your cell group or your youth or whatever. It's a great little place. So it's been quite a change for me this last year, from moving from the middle of Belfast out to the country. Well, let me tell you a little bit about what we were doing in Belfast. 9 years ago in 2002, 8 years, 2001, I moved back to Belfast with a vision to see a community of people develop in the heart of a city. And the words that were ringing in my ears were the words by a Mennonite theologian called John Paul Lederach, who said, he actually said these words, in the life of Jesus, holiness is defined more than anything else by his persistent movement towards people. Holiness is defined more than anything else by his persistent movement towards people. And he unpacked John 17, where we get this principle that Jesus called us to be in the world, but not to be of the world. And John Paul Lederach says, he's a Mennonite, which is this kind of, I don't know if any of you are from North America here, but it's this kind of great kind of bunch of people who live a very unique kind of life. Well, they would have done, now they're pretty normal. And he said that Mennonites are very good about being not of the world, but we're not very good about being in the world, you know? And often that's the same for all of us as Christians, you know? We live a very different life, you know? We don't swear, we don't whatever, we don't do all these things, but we actually kind of find it difficult to actually engage with people. Whereas when we read the Gospels, you see a picture of this man, Jesus, who was persistently moving towards people. And you have this image of, you know, if you read Isaiah 40, you talk about, it's this incredible chapter about how God is like so big and great and he stretches the heavens out like a canopy and all men are like grasshoppers. And then you skip forward a few chapters and you see this God who became a grasshopper. This God who became one of us and moved towards us. And the incarnation was about Jesus saying, I want to be with you. We have this idea of God dwelling with us, another word that almost means literally pitching his tent. God pitches his tent. In Exodus 29, verses 44 and 45, it says, I will dwell among the Israelites. The word dwell means I'm going to pitch my tent among these people. And then we move forward to John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. And then we move forward to Revelation, this picture of the future. 21, verse 3. He will dwell among them. He's going to pitch his tent among them. This image of the future. God's going to dwell with us. Isn't that pretty cool? God's not going to be up in heaven and we're down here. God's actually with us. And of course, the reality is that right now in this room, God has pitched his tent with us. Where we gather in his name, he comes and dwells with us. He pitches his tent with us. So if God does that to us, what is he calling us to do? What does the life of being Christ-like mean? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, I think the answer is that holiness means moving towards darkness. That Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Word of God, looked down at us on earth and said, I want to go and be with them. They are broken and they have fallen and they need help. I want to go towards them. And the calling for all of us this morning here in Dublin is to say, Jesus is out there walking among the people. Are we going to go and join him? Are we going to go and walk among the people? That was 9 years ago when I moved up to Belfast. We had the sense that God was calling us to develop community in the middle. In the middle of the brokenness of the world, that was the truth ringing in our ears. God was calling us to go to the darkness. Well, of course, I don't know how many of you from Northern, anyone from the North up here, down here, there's a few of you. Well, they're the extra holy ones among you, you know. We went to Belfast, we felt like a door opened. We felt like God was probably calling us to go into a little loyalist neighborhood. We had a vision for reconciliation, bringing communities together, for peacemaking. But we didn't know where. And a door opened in a place that you've probably heard of called the Shankill Road. And so somebody offered us a little church house. It was a Presbyterian caretaker's house in Townsend Street and Shankill meaning old church. You know, it would have been this great place, but of course it's become synonymous around the world with violence. And so God opened a door for us to go there. And so we, in January 2002, we got the keys and we walked in and we just started living in this little community. And I'm from Belfast all my life, but like a good person from Belfast, you never go to the Shankill Road. So, you know, the first time I went there, I had to get directions. And I only found out it's like a 5 minutes walk from the center of town. Like, it's right there. There's very few residential areas in Belfast more central than the Shankill. But I didn't have a clue where it was. You know, it's kind of like that, you know, Harry Potter, that station, you know, whatever it was, 8 1/4. You know, you never know it's there. Well, that's kind of like the Shankill. It's kind of, it's right there, but you don't know it's there. And if you do know it's there, you don't go there. But we decided to go there. And so with a little group of people, we moved in. During that year, a feud started, and Johnny Adair was the big ringleader in the area. He was running UDAC company. He was busy kneecapping people and dealing drugs, and so the rest of the people in the UDA around Northern Ireland didn't like him very much. So they started a feud. And we were running a DTS. We were running a discipleship training school. And there was like gangs at night. They would like patrol the area because literally the whole UDA all over Northern Ireland was against Johnny Adair because he was taking all their drug money, you know. And during that year, there were people killed. There were people put out of their houses. There were kids. We were running a drop-in kids club and a drop-in center for teenagers. Johnny Adair's kids in our kids club, you know. We felt like we should offer scholarships to young people from areas of conflict. So we had three Zulu guys that we had kind of trusted God to get the money to bring them over to Belfast. We had no money, but we ended up giving a scholarship to three people. So three-sevenths of our school weren't giving us any money, so we were really broke, you know. And of course, the Shankill Road's famous for kind of nowadays as well racism, you know. Little loyalist areas aren't this kind of swastikas in a lot of areas around there. So it wasn't the done thing to kind of first of all run a Christian discipleship course in that kind of place, and secondly to bring African black people to this community. But we started doing it, and of course we'd play football and the South Africans would run rings around the locals, and suddenly that would kind of, that would be like, all right, you're pretty cool, you know. And we just started trying to live out community. And there was something about that year that I will probably never forget. It was a year of I just wrote about it last night, Amazing Grace. It really was incredible. Paramilitaries coming into our kitchen and asking us what we were doing. You know, kids threatening us, kids loving us. Just incredible kind of time. The point was, God had called us to move towards darkness. He had called us to model His Son's incarnation by incarnating His life in a community that was afraid, that was broken, had a wall the size of this roof, you know, running up the side of it. And He was calling us to be there. I've got a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old kid, and there's a story about a little 4-year-old, probably like my son, JJ. And the story goes that he's in bed at night and he has a bad dream, you know, and he cries out, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy," you know, and Mommy goes in. If that was my house, it would be a fight between Jen and I about who would get up to go first, but not a fight, in our discussion, you know. Surely it's your turn. So Mommy would go in, and the little kid looked up and says, the little kid looks up and says, "Mommy, I'm having a bad dream." And the mom looks down at him and says, "It's okay, son. When you have a bad dream, you just pray to Jesus and He'll be with you, okay? And the dream will go away." And the son looks up at him, at his mom, and says, "But Mommy, sometimes I need Jesus with skin on." And the reality is that there are communities in this world that we live that need Jesus with skin on. And certainly in Northern Ireland, a lot of the young people we work with had heard a lot about Jesus. They'd heard Him in their Sunday schools that they were made to go to, in their boys' brigades, and they'd heard about Him even in school, but they were struggling to see Him. Shankill's an area that was deprived, and church numbers have been dwindling severely for the last 4 decades, to the point where most of the people that go to the traditional churches in the Shankill go there because their fathers and grandfathers would have gone there. So they go there, it's their like home church, you know what I mean? But they don't live there anymore. So they tend to live in other areas and have done well, and so they drive in on a Sunday in the big cars. And so when we moved in, there was very much, and now they're wonderful people, so it's not that they're bad people at all, but there's a perception when we moved in 2002 among young people in that area that Christians are the people that wear suits and that drive in their Mercedes on a Sunday morning and go to the old church over there, and then they drive away again, you know? And so when we moved in, we didn't feel that we were God's gift to anyone, you know, either literally or metaphorically, but we were just trying our best to reach out to people. And so one of the things that we started to do was do what is happening a lot now is kind of clean rubbish. It was an area of brokenness and dysfunction. So we thought, well, let's be a model to show that we're not above this. Let's start picking up rubbish. And so actually for the first about 24 months, we did loads of these like cleanups where we kind of went around and we'd clean up rubbish. I remember this one kid called Colin coming up to me and going, this is about 2 years after we moved there. He goes, "Are you Christians coming here to clean rubbish again, you know?" And I thought, this is funny. Like, this is a kid. He was about 7 years old. And his conscious memory is that Christians are the ones who come and clean rubbish, you know? And, man, I cleaned some really bad rubbish. During the feud, we went up in the back around Johnny Adair's house, around that whole area, cleaned up their back gardens, dead birds, nappies that had been there for I don't know how many years, you know? me. I can still kind of smell it on my fingers, how dirty it was, you know. Are you Christians coming to clean up rubbish again? And I realized that his mind had begun to change, that the Christians were the ones that clean up rubbish, you know. Christians weren't the people that turned up on a Sunday and then drove away. Christians were the people that cleaned up our rubbish, you know. And I thought that's probably quite a good thing. The first year, we were involved in an initiative called Street Reach, kind of a bit like, I've forgotten what you call it. They do it in Dublin every year. Urban Soul, yeah. And the first year, they did it in the Lower Shankill where we were. And of course, on the 11th of July, if you don't know, it's a big bonfire night where they do nice things like burn Irish flags and effigies of the Pope and all kinds of things, and anyone they don't particularly like. And so they let us do a gig at the bonfire site earlier in the evening. And I remember we invited a guy called Brian Houston, who's a songwriter from Belfast. And I remember him playing there and jamming away. And at one point, he's a bit of an outspoken kind of guy. And he decided to play this song, We Don't Need Religion, which is a kind of good song to play, you know. And he started, it was the picture of it was surreal. He's on a stage next to a bonfire full of Irish flags and kids hanging around, kind of up to no good, listening to this guy on a stage singing, we don't need religion, we don't need religion, we don't need religion, but we could sure use the love of God. And I remember thinking, this is just beautiful. This picture is beautiful. 12 months ago, I didn't almost know where this road was, and now I've made it my home. And living there and just beginning to get to know people was one of the most beautiful journeys that I can ever say I've ever been on. I got married that year, my wife and I, we had a kid, and we decided to raise our kids for the first few years in the Shankill Road, you know. And Greenland's first house with the kid was Greenland Street, which was, you know, my living room at Ross Trevor is about three times the size of my house in Greenland Street, you know. It's a small house, but we were getting to know our neighbors. Our drunk neighbor, John, who would yell at the top of his lungs every day, you know, and behind us, because he got upset because people were putting rubbish in the entryway, you know. Put rubbish in there, you know. And, you know, and we had a little toddler, and you're kind of going, is this responsible parenting? You know, I don't know. But there was something about we were trying to incarnate Jesus. We were trying to be Jesus with skin on. And kind of time's going by quickly, but I guess I want to leave you guys with a challenge that God has called you as a people in Dublin to be Jesus with skin on. And that may be in very profound ways, or it might be in simple ways. In Zechariah 14, there's this interesting passage where it talks about what the future is going to be like. And it says, on that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bowels of the horses, and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judea will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and pans and cook in them. That is one of the more random verses you were probably not expecting to hear. There's something beautiful about that. At the end of Zechariah, it says your pots are going to say holy to the Lord on them. So what does it mean? It means there's going to come a time when everything is holy. Everything is set apart to God. It doesn't matter if you're cooking in a kitchen, it's going to be holy to the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're riding a horse, it's going to be holy to the Lord. It's something, it was saying, we can look forward to a time when this bus will be holy. That Colossians 1, God in Jesus was reconciling all things to himself. That means all things. That means there's nothing outside of that. And we have this image of this word shalom in Scripture. Shalom, obviously, the Hebrew word meaning peace. And so in Isaiah, it says, there's going to come this little child. Unto us a child is born. And the government and the shalom will be on his shoulders. What does it mean? What is shalom? What does this word shalom mean? Well, in English, the word shalom just means peace, you know? It means kind of everyone shush. There, it's peace, you know. But obviously the Hebrew word shalom was about this cosmic order where everything will be in the right place. And so if you look at my car, in the English word for peace, if my car was at peace, it would be sitting there with the engine turned off, nice and quiet, probably looking a bit dirty, you know? But if my car was at shalom, the Hebrew word shalom, peace, the engine would be turned on, it would probably be clean, and the engine would be turned on and it would be running perfectly. See, God's desire for us is not to abandon this, the secular life out there and the dirtiness of people's lives. God's desire is for us to bring His order into everyday life so that everyday life becomes holy. Everyday life runs the way it should. So businesses are not full of corruption and greed. They're full of self-sacrifice and love. That coffee isn't exploited, but coffee is made by people who have paid a fair wage. That, you know, that everything runs as it should run. God is not calling us to escape the world, but to bring His shalom, His order into the world. So everything will be in the right place and just be running as it should be. You guys have an amazing opportunity in this church to embody the right running of lives. Your lives become an image for people to look at. You become a Bible for people to read. And they want to see in you shalom. So live together in peace. Love each other. Don't judge. Be kind and generous to one another. And let's go out onto the streets. And holiness means moving towards darkness. Let's look for the dark places in the city. The places where people have been forgotten, and let's remember them. And let's show people that they are remembered, that you haven't forgotten them, that Jesus hasn't forgotten them. He remembers them. Let's pitch our tent with them, because God's pitching His tent with us. So let's go and pitch our tent with them. Amen. There's a lot more that could be said, but I think we've kind of come up to about time. So it's been really nice to be here, and I look forward to meeting you guys again. I feel really at home. Maybe my wife and I will drive down. It's only an hour from Ross Trevor, you know, sometimes, and hang out with you guys. Let me just pray. And Father, I just really thank you for this church, a legacy of doing things in new ways. And Lord, we believe that this church is going to be a model for doing new things, not just new programs, not new just agendas and like, but something new. Even Jonathan, as a church leader, is going to show something new by leading in humility and empowering others. That this church is going to be a place of holiness, not because everyone looks good and the sound is perfect, but because their lives are perfect, their love is perfect. Lord, I pray that this place would be a place where you truly pitch your tent. And Lord, I pray that it would become a light. And as I was driving down this morning, I had a sense that you guys have been called to the poor, but you're also been called, some of you have been called to work with powerful people and people of influence, and that can be some of the most darkest places you can ever go. And so, Lord, I want to pray for people in this church who are being called to work with people of influence, that they would really shine their light into those places and people, and that this church would be, it's a place of influence, God. It's a place, it's a key place. So, God, just bless this people. And move it forward. And thank you that you're doing a good work here, God. Amen. After, you know, I'm here to pray with anyone if you want to. After the service, I'd be happy to kind of just, you know, if you identify with anything or you want a bit of prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. So, but thanks very much.
Well, thank you so much, Johnny. It's just such an encouragement to us because it's such a reflection of what God wants us to be. And I think that's just so encouraging. So what we're going to do is, it's obviously time's come towards the end of it, but I It'd be a shame not to let the Lord do what he does, isn't it? Because it's so embarrassing when we get in the way, isn't it? So shall we just stand and let's just, I just think just let those words firstly sink in. But also I think for us, wherever we are, whether we're in business, whether we're teachers, whether just offer ourselves afresh to the Lord and to say, Lord, I've been made holy by you and I want to be part of moving towards the darkness. I want to be part of your incarnation, showing your love and your care and moving into places which we've been given unique positions. So let's just make ourselves available to the Lord now and ask him just to give us a vision of who we can be in the situations we find ourselves in. Each one of us will have a unique place, but that's great. It's a diverse group of people that God wants to bring together because we have everything in common.